"Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of the Lord.
So on the National Geographic Channel, there's this show called Doomsday Preppers. Has anybody watched it? Okay, just one or a few. So again, it's called Doomsday Preppers, and it's basically the show about people who are crazy about the world apocalypse, and they're getting ready for, you know, like a zombie apocalypse or some kind of government meltdown or some nuclear fallout or something like that. And people spend like a ton of time like building shelters, bunkers, you know, getting months if not years worth of food, and a lot of guns. A lot of people really like getting guns and weapons and stuff for some reason. But basically all of it is just to get ready for like anarchy and just this world collapse. And some people are spending like tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars in preparations, and some people even make a career out of it. You know, for you and I, it's really a question of, you know, if something happens, you know, whether we'll be ready or not. But for these people, it's not a matter of if, but rather a matter of when. And, you know, when I see, I mean, if you've ever watched a show, it's a little crazy. And, like, we probably think that they're just nuts for doing this kind of stuff. But if anything ever does happen, we will totally envy these people, right? We'd be like, "Oh, let us into your shelters, give us some food, give us weapons." But then, at the same time, we'd probably think to ourselves, like, why didn't we prepare? Why didn't we get ready for the zombie apocalypse, right? But I can tell you as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, that we are in the end times. You know? And I think we need to prepare. But I don't think we need to prepare the way that, you know, they prepare in this Doomsday Prepper show, but I think we can learn a lot. We can learn a lot from the vigilance, the diligence of these people in preparation for the end of the world. But more preparations of spiritual readiness, ready for Christ's return and for Him to judge the world. So before I go on, let me pray for us. Lord, we give you thanks, we give you praise for this day, for being who you are. We pray that as we learn more about your word, how you are calling us to live our lives, Lord, that you speak through me, that I be able to speak your word, that I can be a blessing to Cornerstone as you have been a blessing to me and to all of us here. So we thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Brian read for us, we're in the book of Matthew, Matthew 25, 1 to 13, which is the parable of the 10 virgins. And this is probably pretty familiar with most of us who grew up in church or who have read some of the Bible. And if you haven't done so already, just please turn your Bible there. And I want to give you a little bit of background on what's going on here. So I want to give you a little bit of background on both parables in general and also this particular parable. So basically, if you don't know what parables are, they're basically stories. And Jesus uses a lot of these stories in his teachings. And a lot of times they're really used to illustrate some, you know, main central point. And sometimes he's talking to the disciples, which is what he was doing in this passage. Other times he's talking to Pharisees or like officials in the temple or whatever. And sometimes he's just talking to people who are following him around, listening to him. But I think for us, one thing that we need to keep in mind when we're reading parables is that they're not all-encompassing of everything, right? So they're really to highlight one or two, just a few points that Jesus is trying to make to people. It's not like this, like, golden rule or anything. So just keep that in mind when we're reading this. So about this particular passage It's about a first century Canaanite wedding ceremony, which is probably a little foreign to most of us. And there's not actually a lot of literature on this, but basically what's happening is that a bridegroom, or groom as we just call it today, is going to the fiancé or the future wife's home, kind of collecting her and then having a marriage ceremony, and then they travel to their to the groom's house, which is where they end up living, and that's also where they have like a big banquet or a feast, kind of like what we have like a reception today. So that's kind of what's going on, and a lot of times this happens pretty late at night. So that's kind of where we talk about the lamps. So I'm actually going to read the passage one more time, because you can never read the Bible too much, and it's not that long. So again, I'm going to read it for us, Matthew 25:1-13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there is not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and they took, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." So if you actually read the chapter before this, what Jesus is talking about are the end times, as I kind of mentioned before. And I don't want to get into a whole eschatological Sunday school lesson for you guys, but just very briefly, as Christians, we believe that Jesus first came, in the Gospels as baby Jesus, and he lived his life, and he died on the cross, was resurrected, and he ascended to heaven to one day come again and judge the world, both the living and the dead. And there's a lot of other details like the millennium and tribulation, all that jazz, but I'm not going to get into all that. But I just want us to keep in mind that Christ will return. Christ will come, and he will judge the world. Now, getting back to our passage, Christ kind of depicts himself as his bridegroom, while humanity is depicted as these virgins, the foolish and the wise. The foolish being the ones who didn't have extra oil and who were rejected by the bridegroom, and those who, the wise who did have enough oil, who were prepared and were accepted by him. So the main message of this Bible passage, this parable of the 10 virgins, and I'm going to take some liberties here with this, is the following. Be a vigilant groom's day prepper that awaits Christ's return and reward. Be a vigilant groom's day prepper that awaits Christ's return and reward. So if you didn't get it, I did a little play on words there. doomsday preppers that I talked about before, this being the groom's day preppers, Jesus being the bridegroom. But all right, so that's going to be our theme for today. So there are 3 things that I think that Jesus kind of emphasizes in this parable when it comes to what it means to be a good groom's day prepper. The first is that a good groom's day prepper is to be equipped at Christ's return. A groom's day prepper is to be equipped at Christ's return. Now, as I said before, this trek to go to this marriage feast was usually at night, and it was usually pretty long. So, hence the need for some kind of illumination. And when I think about that, I think of this story that I kind of went through. And I was actually, when I put this together, I didn't expect anybody to be here that experienced this with me. But my sister is here today, and she was actually with me on this journey. We went to Trinidad back in 2003, and we're actually sending a trip to Trinidad this year, but hopefully this will not happen to you guys. But basically, we were in this distant town called Toko out in the eastern side of the island, and it's pretty far, and the roads kind of stink, so it takes a long time to travel. So we basically had the whole day to travel from one side to the other. And one of the locals was like, hey, there's this really nice waterfall. And it was like this hike, right? And it was supposed to be like this 45-minute hike to this waterfall, and we can like swim in this pool, and it was supposed to be really nice. So we're like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. So then we get there, and it's like legit in the middle of the jungle, right? And if you don't know, Trinidad is the southernmost country in the Caribbean, so it's like tropical jungle environment, right? And so we're going, and I guess we didn't realize how tough it would be, but it had just like had this tropical downpour just like a few hours before. And if you've never experienced like a tropical downpour, it's like crazy rain for like maybe 5 minutes. So basically the jungle was a giant mud pit. And you know, being, you know, middle upper class Chinese Americans, we were like tiptoeing through the mud, right? You're like, oh, step on that rock and then step on that branch and then that root and then jump over to the dry spot. So basically it took us forever to get through the jungle, right? And then we get to the waterfall and it's like kind of already starting to get dark. And we end up spending like maybe 5 minutes there. And then we're like, oh, we gotta go, it's getting dark. And then like very quickly, it's pitch black. There is no light at all. We are miles away from civilization. And the jungle is like alive. Like it's just like a cacophony of sound. And we can't see anything, right? And all of us were told to like bring backpacks and equipment and whatnot to the trip. You know, we had like Bibles and tracks and whatnot. But you know, for this little outing, a lot of us didn't bring our stuff. So all we had, I think it was myself and maybe like one other person, had brought our backpacks. And I had this little itty bitty flashlight, and it was like super tiny. It barely like light up just enough for myself to see what's in front of me. And then there's like a bunch of other people behind me who are just kind of walking in the darkness, just following this light, you know, a few yards ahead. And basically it took us forever to get through the jungle. But eventually we got back to our van and back to civilization. But I think about what would have happened if we didn't have our little flashlights. We would probably still be there. Or maybe not. But we, you know, actually like, it's really scary to think about spending the night in the jungle. But, you know, that might have been what might have happened. And kind of going back to our verse, our passage, you know, I think about having to make this trek without the light. And I realize how essential it is to be prepared, how essential it was for them to have this light. And I think of Psalm 119, 105, and this is, should be familiar to some of us. But it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I realize the word for us, scripture, the gospel, is our light, is our path in life. It's what illuminates the way that God is calling us to go. And I think about, when I have that in mind, and I think about the wise virgins not sharing with the foolish virgins, I always thought, I was like, you're such jerks. Why don't you just give them a little bit of oil or something, right? But then when I think about it from like kind of like a more real life perspective, and I think about the knowledge and an understanding of the gospel, I think about the faithfulness and the belief that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that's something we can't actually share with other people. You know, we say like, oh, I'm going to share the gospel with somebody. I'm going to share my testimony with somebody. But what we're really doing is we're telling them about it. We're not really sharing, because you can't take your faith. It's not something you can like cut in half and give to somebody else, right? It's something you can demonstrate in your life. It's something that you can tell them about, and it's something for them to develop and understand on their own. And in the same way, the foolish virgins had to get their own oil. They had to have their own faith, their own knowledge. They had to be equipped. So again, a good groom's day prepper is to be equipped at Christ's return. The second point of the that I think is important in this parable is that a good groom's day prepper is to hurry up and wait for Christ's return. A groom's day prepper is to hurry up and wait for Christ's return. And I know, like Jonathan and maybe anybody else who has a military background, I don't know. I don't have a military background, but I think this is supposed to be like a pretty common term in the military. Hurry up and wait. So basically, it's that's right, right? Okay, yeah, they say that. It's confirmed. But basically, it's just emphasizing this urgency and anticipation. You know, you don't know when the enemy is going to attack. You don't know when you're going to be called out to serve, but you got to be ready, right? And Jesus says in verse 13 of our passage, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Again, he's referring to his second coming. He's referring to the end of time when he's going to judge the world, right? And I think this drives me crazy because sometimes I'm like super control freak and I need to know what's going on. And I think that is the first reason why this kind of doesn't sit well with us, right? And again, to pick on my sister again, she's really scared of killer whales. And the reason being is that if you've ever gone into the ocean and you're like in the middle of the ocean, even if you have goggles on and you look down into the water, it's like blackness, right? You can't see anything below like, you know, a few dozen yards or something. And you have no idea what's down there. And the reason why killer whales are black on the top and white on the bottom, and this goes for sharks too, I guess, is that when you look down, they blend in with the darkness of the bottom of the ocean. And then they're white on the bottom, so when you look up at them, they blend in with the light of the sky. So they're like designed for to be like sneaky, right? But again, I think that's a big problem when it comes to not knowing when Christ is coming back. We don't know. We don't know what to expect. And that is unsettling for me. And I'm sure that's unsettling for a lot of us here. And I think the other reason why not knowing when Christ is coming back doesn't sit well with us is because we always want more time. Or we always assume that we have more time. How many people this past week skipped at least one meal? Raise your hand. If anybody did not eat breakfast this week, you should be raising your hand. But I skip meals all the time. I skip breakfast because I like to sleep in. So I end up eating like midnight snack a lot. But a lot of times I'll be like, I'm too busy. I got it. I'm just going to skip a meal. But sometimes I'm so busy, I don't even realize I skip a meal. I'm like, you know, studying or playing video games or something even. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, it's like 3 o'clock, I didn't eat lunch. And then sometimes I'll be like, oh my gosh, it's midnight, I didn't eat dinner, you know? You know, I mean, how many times does that happen to us? Yeah, they're laughing over there. And this is a funny story. When I was in college, one of my friends was studying for this big engineering exam, and he was like studying for days on end for this thing. And he gets this phone call from his friend and classmate. And all the friend says is, "Hey, how do you think you did?" He's like, "What?" He's like super confused. Basically, I mean, long story short, he had been studying so hard for this exam that he had gotten his dates mixed up. And he thought that the exam was one day later. So he actually missed his exam studying for his exam. You know, I think it's funny because it's like he assumed that he had more time. He thought he had more time. And I think he ended up, like, striking a deal with the professor and getting taken later or something like that. If you don't, I mean, for our youth today, if you don't know in college, like, basically you have, like, a lot of classes, if you have two exams, that's all you have. Those are your only grades. So if you miss one, you're pretty much, you fail. So yeah, it was really important. So again, I think for us as Christians, we need to realize that, or I guess not only as Christians, but as good Groom's Day preppers, that we can't get comfortable with where we are. We can't be comfortable with the time that we have, because the reality is we probably have less time than we really have. Wait, we have less time than we think we have. You know, even on the way home from church today, you could get into a terrible car accident and pass away. You never know. You never know how much time we have left on this earth. So we have to use our time wisely, and we need to eagerly wait for Christ. Because again, a good Groom's Day prepper is to be equipped at Christ's return and is to hurry up and wait for Christ's return. Now, the third point of this parable is that a good Groom's Day prepper is to eagerly expect Christ's reward. You know, even if you're a believer, even if you're a disciple of Christ, when we talk about death, when we talk about the end times, you probably get scared. I get scared. You know, it's hard for me to think about life beyond the life we have now. But if you are equipped with the knowledge of the gospel, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. You should be secured in your faith. Because it's nothing that you did. It's not the good that you do in the world, but it's what Christ did for you. It's what Christ did for us. When he died on the cross and rose from the grave, he swept our sins clean and he brought us life. And that's what matters. And in fact, I think we should actually be eager for the end of the world. We should be eager for our deaths. And that's weird to say, but I think the idea of being with Christ should be something we should be excited about. And I hate to compare Jesus to a package from Amazon, but I'm going to do it. So I don't know about you guys, but I have Amazon Prime, and I like just buy stuff all the time, right? It's terrible, but my mom knows. We use one account, and emails from her purchases keep popping up in my email box. It's just like every day we're just buying like little itty-bitty things. It's pretty bad. But, you know, there was one time, and I'm going to confess, it was about like a year and a half ago, I think, when this video game called Destiny came out, and it had this bundle. It was a PS4 bundle. It was like a white PS4 with this game. And I was like, wow, this looks awesome. And I had been kind of putting off getting a PS4 for a long time, but that did it. I had to get it, right? So I bought it on Amazon, and I was like tracking the shipping. I was like, oh, it's like here and there. Oh, it's coming in tomorrow. And I got like really excited. And I kind of know when my postman comes. So I actually like kind of waited out in the driveway for it. So when I heard the postman come, I was like, so I like ran to the end of the driveway and he like literally handed me the package basically. Like I was that excited about it. But then I think about life with Christ. Coming to the end of my life and I am like, I am nowhere near that excited. I was more excited about my PS4 than I was about being with Christ for eternity, right? And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Yeah, and I think that a lot of us today probably don't think like that. We're not eager to be with Christ for eternity. But I think about, you know, a world without pain. I think about a world without disease, without sadness. On top of being eternally with Christ, I mean, how awesome does that sound? That, above all, should be something that we should be excited about. The things that we cherish in this world pale in comparison to that. So again, be a vigilant Groom's Day prepper that awaits Christ's return and reward. We must be equipped at Christ's return. We must hurry up and wait for Christ's return, and we must eagerly expect Christ's reward. So how do we go about being a good Groom's Day prepper? There's a few things I think that can really help us in our prepping. The first is that, I mentioned this before, but we need to hold true to the gospel. We need to know Scripture. Because at the end of the day, you know, as I said in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And really the core of the Bible, the core of Scripture, is the gospel. And I think that is first and foremost the most important thing for us to have in our tool belt of Groom's Day prepperedness. The second thing I think that we need to strive for is to be more Christ-like every single day. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And when I think about Christ returning, I think about somebody coming to visit me. And my family and some of my friends can probably testify that I am a pretty messy guy. And when my parents come home or when I have friends over, and I'm sure most of us do this, but we clean, right? You don't want people to see your messiness. So there's kind of two things that come with that. Like, you don't want people to see you messy because you don't want their image of you to be kind of like not a good one. But the other thing is you want your guests to be comfortable. You want your guests to be familiar with, you know, how things are in your life. You know, do we have to clean our houses? Do we have to clean up our lives for Christ? No. Do we need to be perfect? No. Christ is not calling us to do that. But I think there's a lot of value in striving to do that. And there's one more thing I want to touch on today. And does anybody know our theme for this year? Reach one to teach one, right? And it's all about being more intentional about making disciples for Christ. So kind of jumping back to our verse again, in verse 3 to 5, it says, again, the foolish ones took their lamps and did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So see, the wise and the foolish were together for a pretty considerable amount of time. And I wonder, and if, just if, the wise had cared more about the foolish, would they have not said something earlier? And I think that's where a lot of us are today. Because I don't think we care about our family, our friends who don't know Christ. We don't, not that we don't care, but we don't think about their futures. We don't think about their eternal existence. And I think it's important for us to say something, to do something. Because I don't want to twist this parable, but I think that if the wise had cared more about the foolish, maybe, just maybe, a few more of those foolish would have been able to make it to the banquet. And in the same way, I think that it's not enough for ourselves to be good Groom's Day preppers. I think we are called to make Groom's Day preppers. I think we are called to bring people along with us. So I'd like to invite up the worship team, and if we can actually get the lights. I'd like for us to all close our eyes for a minute. And I'd like you to think about somebody who is in your life who doesn't know Christ. And if you yourself don't know Christ, I pray that you take this time to really contemplate who Jesus is to you. And I want to imagine you and your friend, your family member who doesn't know Christ, walking up to the pearly gates of heaven and seeing St. Peter. And he looks at you and he says, "We have been waiting for so many years. Welcome to heaven. Welcome to paradise." And you walk in to the gates. And you turn around and you hear Peter say to your friend and your family, "Sorry. You can't come in. Jesus is not your Savior. Jesus is not your Lord." And you look into your friend and your family member's eyes, and all they say is, "Why didn't you tell me?" Why didn't you tell me? Because, brothers and sisters, the day is fast approaching. Don't assume that we have an extra day. So are you a doomsday prepper? Or are you a groomsday prepper? Lord, you are good. Lord, you have given us everything we need. We pray that you give us the courage to be able to step out in faith, to be able to love you, to be able to care about our brothers and sisters, to be able to care about the people in this world who don't know you. I pray that you prepare us, Lord. I pray that you give us urgency in our lives. I pray that we are eager for you to be in our lives, to spend eternity with you, and that we can bring our families, our friends, all of our loved ones with us. You are good, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.